flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 45% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 45% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
KJ Lyons of WEEI, 617-779-7937. That's also the text line. We'll get your text messages here this hour. So, John, it's the Bruins are literally, and we'll play Bruins Survivor here shortly. They will make the Bruins fans' nerves shot more than a bad Patriots team has, I think, this past year. And I think it's because the Bruins do spend, and you're like, okay, so what are you guys still doing? And then you see yesterday's game, you're like, this is the team you feel like can be this is the dominant type of team it's supposed to be, but you're like, but wait for the next game because you don't know what's going to happen.
Well, you look at the last 8 days. So they beat Colorado last Saturday, a team that had just made a major trade. They yesterday beat the Rangers, another team that had just made a major trade. But sandwiched in between that is two games that they lost by a combined score of 13-4. So it's like,
well, even go back to the Winnipeg loss, right? When you get the tying goal, you're like, okay, this team is waking up. And then what happens a minute later? They're down two. It's like, look,
and that's been a thing this year. There's been a bunch of times that they've given up a goal within 2 minutes of scoring one. And it's like, I think it's a lack of focus more than anything else. But it's just like at this point, you spent money in the offseason. You fired your coach. You did all these things. And you're still a borderline playoff team.
And then your CEO's not interested in hearing the rebuild term. You remember the comments from a couple of weeks ago. He's like, well, Sweeney's going to be there at the Four Nations, and he's going to be, you know, he's going to be watching people to go get people, right? I have faith in the team. When I talk to him, and he says, and I talk to him often, I have faith they're going to do the right thing. But because like, well, what about a rebuild? I don't know if you can say all that. So this is probably the most maddening season since Claude Julien gets fired in the middle of a parade. So
yeah, that's fair. This probably, especially if you look at relative to expectations, because last year they go to six games against Florida. They hang right there with him in that series. Then they add the best center available on the market.
Right, which was the big scream about last year. Like, we need a top six center.
100%. And then they add Zadorov as well. And you come into the season thinking, wow, if they went to six games against Florida last year, maybe they can push to the conference final. And then, okay, Lindholm's been, you know, better on faceoffs than what they had last year, but he's been largely invisible at times. And Zadorov's given them nothing. Swayman's been well below expectations the entire year. It's just, this is probably, KJ, the most frustrating Bruins team of the last 15 years, at least, I would think.
You know the funny thing? Remember at the beginning of the season, who was the biggest person we were worried about? It's like, oh my God, please don't let Caprasalo get in there more than 27 games.
And he's been the better goalie.
He's been the better goalie. So if we play the game of – you ever watch the TV show Survivor,
So I've seen it a little bit. I wasn't like wholly into it, but I've seen it.
I watched it the first year it was out because, what was it, Richard Hatch, the guy from Rhode Island, won it that year.
Yeah,
that's the very first year. And after that, I was like, I get the point. Everybody's on an island. And I've always said, like, does the crew who film everything, do they get to eat? You know what I mean? Like, it's like everybody else hunting for food. But over here, we just had catered sandwiches boated in. I don't know. But in the let's play a little bit of Bruin Survivor here. We're down to the last four on the island. Hit it, Thomas. So who's the last man standing? And Jacobs is the lone member of the tribal council. In order, who most likely gets eliminated from Bruin Survivor? You've got Brad Marchand, Joe Sacco, Cam Neely, Don Sweeney. Who gets it? Who's off the island first, in your opinion, John?
I think it's going to be Marchand. I think they could trade him in season. Yeah. And Dan Ball talked about this on the show before ours, and I agree. I think Marchand could go.
The tribal council agrees. I agree with you. I have Marchand the first off of Bruin Survivor on the island. Next, so we're down to Joe Sacco, Cam Neely, and Don Sweeney. And let me just tell you, it seems like a couple of these guys are kind of stacking up against one of these other players on the island. It feels like this season because I think, who do you think is eliminated next?
I think it's going to be Sacco, even though it probably should be Sweeney.
Yes.
And look, here's the thing, too. Just a side note on Sweeney. Because actually, no, we're going to get to Sweeney in a minute. So, yeah, I'm just going to say Sacco's next.
Here's why I agree with you. If it becomes a failure, because clearly Sacco gets let go because things didn't work out, the excuse could be, hey, this guy just couldn't deal with high-end talent and wasn't ready for prime time as their coach. Whatever was going on with Monty and the players, it might have been a little bit better with Joe, but we didn't get the results. That's why I've been jokingly calling him Joe Sacrificial Lamb, because we get down to the final two, Cam Neely and Don Sweeney. Can I get that Survivor music again? Because this is where the drama really hits.
It gave me a commercial break on a 50-second video after 25 seconds, KJ.
That's so worrying.
So
I think the next guy that would go, though, would actually be Don Sweeney. And here's the thing about Sweeney. You can't blame him for the Bruins in Game 7 against the Blues playing terrible. And you can't blame him for 2023 when he built the best roster in the league and they blew a 3-1 lead in the series, okay? You can't blame him for that. But the biggest problem with the Bruins right now, and I would say even the last 2 years, but especially right now, is the roster. And he built he's the one that signed Lindholm. He's the one that signed Zadorov. He's the one that gave Swayman the big extension. Like, the roster right now, which is underachieving, and the players deserve blame too, it's a roster he built. So I go him next.
You say Sweeney next?
Sweeney
I have Cam Neely next.
Okay.
And I think it's because it's one of those things like step away now, maintain a dignity as everything goes on, because then I think Sweeney's the last one to go. But I think Cam Neely would be the next one to go just because he's been the one that's outwardly shown his frustration. Remember the whole situation with Swayman? Say, hey, I didn't, I'm not the one.
64 million reasons.
Like, that's bubbling out frustration that you're supposed to hide behind the wall when you're management. Like, when you're frustrated at that point, you may be the one that says, you know what? Because I think Neely probably gets off the island before he gets kicked off of the island. So I think Neely would go before Sweeney, but I think ultimately Sweeney would be the last one standing on the island because Cam Neely left himself. And Sweeney then is the last one that gets the axe. So I think the only difference we have Marchand getting kicked off first, right?
Yep.
Sacco then getting kicked off after that.
Yep.
Then we split. You think that Sweeney goes next. I think Cam Neely is the one that probably says, I'm just going to go.
Yeah, he does the Danny Ainge and just
I'm just gone. I'm just gone. I'm not sticking around for this final.
Neely's closer to ownership, so I could see him going to ownership and saying, hey, we fired the coach. We tried things with the roster. Oh, we got to change a GM next. And like, that's the next thing that they did. So that's why I could see Neely being the last guy to go. But if they miss the playoffs, I mean, that's the one thing the Jacobs family, they want home playoff games.
They're not having it. They're not having it.
They want, yeah. So if they miss the playoffs and you don't have home playoff games after all the money they've spent, we could be looking at all these guys gone in the summer.
Well, that's why I say, remember we were talking about Brad Stevens when he was fire-moted, you know, yeah, upstairs?
That's a good way to put it.
I think that might be the situation with Cam Neely, where he might just be a special assistant to the, to the owners. You know, like, just like, I'm not even touching operations anymore. I'm just sitting up in the perch with you and watching everything while Don Sweeney is probably gone. You know what I mean? Like, if Sweeney's gone, I think Cam Neely probably steps away from that role and finds his successor in that portion, and get the Sweeney situation handled, and then just step out of the room, because, like, you're not going to spend better than what the Bruins have spent.
No, and right? That's the thing. To that ownership group's credit, they have spent a lot of money for a long time now. And again, I can't blame Sweeney for them blowing Game 7 at home in the Cup Final, and I can't blame Sweeney for 2023 when he built the best roster in the league and they blew a 3-1 lead to Florida. But the roster right now, which is underachieving, and they've already tried firing the coach, and I'm paraphrasing Sweeney here, but remember when they fired Montgomery?
Yeah.
He said publicly at his press conference, like, I could be the next, I know I could be the next guy to be looked at, or something like that. So there you go. I mean, like, if they're still underachieving, I mean, I know they had the good win yesterday, I get it, but that's coming after you lose, you know, two games by a combined score of 13-4.
Yeah, just looking at this wild card, it's fascinating just how everything's sitting. The Bruins right now, if the playoffs started today, they're out at 58 points. The Senators are the last one at 60 points for the Atlantic Division. Then you've got Columbus at 59, Tampa 58, then the Bruins at 58, the Red Wings at 57, the Islanders, who they see next week, at 55. Canadiens have been slipping. They've lost four in a row. They're at 53. The biggest thing that jumps out at me, John, is this goal difference. The Bruins have their goal difference is just as bad as the Flyers, and the Flyers are not even in this conversation.
It's the third worst, I think, in the conference.
Bad, but if you look at Detroit and the Islanders, they're closer to even than they are in the points differential way. I mean, maybe Montreal doesn't really make the move that you think that, you know, at one point they were kind of hot for a second, they've cooled off, but the Islanders have won seven in a row, and the Red Wings have won five.
Well, and I think the problem is when the Bruins lose, they collapse and they get blown out. I mean, remember the Nashville game earlier in the year when Nashville was like winless and beat them 4-0?
Yeah,
the
right.
8-2 Welcome Carolina game, the 7-2 Dallas game, Montgomery's last game, the 5-1 loss to Columbus. Like, that's still they've given up 8 goals in 2 different games.
Yes, yeah,
so I mean, when they lose, they're getting blown out.
It'd be fascinating what happens, because I think the tough part for the Bruins in this stretch is they don't play too many of the teams that are in front of them or near them anytime soon.
And they've played more games than all those teams.
Yeah, so that's the other thing. Like, you know, when you get Seattle cracking, you know, 2 out of 3 nights, there's nothing the Bruins can do about that when other teams are getting those teams. Like, I think that's what helped Columbus. Like, Columbus had a bit of a schedule where they were getting nobodies out in the West, and we're able to, like, 3 here, 3 here, just collecting infinity stones off of these poor teams. Where the Bruins don't really get these teams in front. They get the Rangers again, but the Rangers are a bit of a slip right now. So let's see what happens when they get the Islanders. I think they've got Tampa again here coming up pretty soon.
They do have Toronto in 3 weeks. I mean, yeah, it's a while.
So it's a while before they get these teams who are in this wild card mix in front of them. And you don't, like, we're not going to go through the schedule and be like, oh yeah, you definitely have to watch who Tampa's playing tonight. You know, like, the Bruins, because they failed in opportunities to win games, they should be winning games, or going to too many games that went to overtime. Like, all these points they've given up in terms of games that have gone to overtime, these overtime losses. You know, so I think the Bruins can only blame themselves of where they are. And
the schedule's in a weird spot, because they have that break coming up. So it's like they have 3 more games in the next week, and then they don't play for 2 weeks. So they have this weird break, and then they come back, and like 2 weeks after they come back from that break is the trade deadline.
Maybe have Rich Keefe come over and have a TED Talk with them.
They have been playing better since that whole thing happened.
Since that happened, just saying. 617-779-7937, KJ and Lyons on WEEI. We'll get to the breaking news of the day, the big trade out in the NBA, what that means for the Celtics. But right now it's time to trend with Tom.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep. Graybar does that.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Nick's, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Nick's Menswear, your friend in style.
Miss Krista Philly. KJ Lines, WEEI, 617-779-7937. That's the big story of the day. That's Brian Windhorst earlier today on ESPN regarding the Luka Doncic trade to the Lakers. In return, Anthony Davis goes to the Mavericks. The one correction is Luka cannot get the Supermax because he's no longer with his original drafted team. So when his contract situation comes up next year or in a couple of years, it's a negotiable thing. It's not a, hey, I can get the Supermax. But it's interesting, John, because I'm looking at Luka is 6'6", 230. Damn. 6'6", 230.
I saw one report that he's up to almost 270 now.
Like, would you give a guy $70 million who's 6'6", who's a backcourt guy, that's maybe potentially 270?
Well, that's another interesting subplot of this, too, because how many times have teams just given stars max and supermax extensions because they're afraid of losing them? And right. Not only did the Mavs not do it, let's not forget, Lakers didn't do it with Anthony Davis either. And you saw the Warriors not do it with Klay Thompson. That's why he's in Dallas now. I wonder if the winds are changing a little bit with some of these teams. Not all. I mean, obviously the Celtics just gave supermaxes in back-to-back years. But I wonder if the winds are changing a little bit with some of these teams where they're not just going to be doling out max and supermax extensions just because they're afraid of losing guys.
Bro, Tatum is 6'8", 210.
All muscle. And Jaylen Brown, all muscle.
Think about this. If you're a supermax guy and you're going to be 6'6", and right now they're having a conversation of potentially you're 30 pounds, 25 pounds overweight, and you're going to get it. Because here's the thing. Let's say they don't trade him. You think Luka decides to take the supermax?
Yeah, I do think he would have taken it.
I say he takes the supersize too as well.
Jaylen Brown, 6'6", 223, listed, by the way, as well.
Okay, right, but solid. Like
that's Jaylen, what I'm saying. Yeah, I'm agree. Yeah,
solid. Luka Doncic, you could probably could play basketball better than me in my dreams. I get it, but when we're talking about the quality of the body type, and you're 25 and you're like that, you're that at 20. They're like, he's only 25. I was like, isn't that a problem? Like, isn't that the conversation they're having down in Congress? There's an obesity problem in America. We gotta do some things. I don't know. Take that barbecue out of Luka's hands. Send him to L.A. where everything is avocados and smoothies.
That TB12 diet.
He needs TB24. I don't know what you do. So here's the other part of it. And I hear people say, like the former All Star Eddie Johnson, he does stuff on NBA TV as well. He says, look, in the short term, Dallas is a better team. Like, short term, absolutely, right?
I would say for this year, yeah.
Yeah,
and maybe next year, too.
Right, because here's the thing. If you still have room to potentially make a move for, say, a Bradley Beal or a Jimmy Butler with putting just a couple of, you take one of those centers that you still have between Gafford, you're going to move on for PJ Washington, right? Because who do you really need as power forward if you've got this guy? So if you get, you've got a shooter in Klay Thompson there, and Kyrie now can at least balance between distributing with big men, which he's, I mean, unstoppable with, and taking the shot when needed. That's the problem with Luka. Luka needs to take 30 shots a game just so that, I think that's what people miss out on. But we saw it in the NBA Finals. You remember how many people were screaming at us? Oh, Luka's going to dominate the Celtics. It's just like, bro, this is not 2K.
He was like the fourth best player in that series.
think about it.
Well, maybe remember third. I'm not trying to like dump on the guy, but it's just.
Well, yeah. You remember what the Celtics kept doing? They kept rotating different people to him of different sizes because they knew that if you got in front of Luka, you were going to wind him. Then by time, who was he primarily defending in the NBA Finals?
Was he on Jaylen Brown a lot?
No, he was running to the weakest guy out there, potentially.
I'm trying to think back.
He was running towards the slowest guy. Sometimes you see them out there on Derek
White. There
were
times he didn't run up the floor.
I mean, that's the point. Look, Sam Hauser locked him down for a three-minute period in the NBA Finals. Look, things can happen, but we're not talking about Michael Cooper from the Lakers shutting down, you know, putting the defensive stops on him, or I don't even think, Leon Poe or putting the stops down. No, we're talking about Hauser, who you would say, boy, that matchup would be an issue for Hauser, and you might be blowing him and get out quick because Luka's going to school on him, and he was able to lock in on him. I think what the Dallas Mavericks said to themselves, are we going to commit a lifetime amount of money to a guy who can't even commit to the basic physical fitness of the sport?
And I think this is something that a lot of teams, especially in recent years, would have just given him the contract anyway. So there's something like, it's not just to me that Luka's, out of shape and his conditioning's a problem. They don't believe in him in Dallas. I wonder if they think that the finals last year was the ceiling of Luka. Because remember, they tried Porzingis with him. They tried Jalen Brunson with him. They tried Kyrie with him. And I wonder if they looked at it and said, hey, the 2024 finals was his ceiling. And yes, we got to the finals, but we were overmatched and he wasn't it for the moment.
Well, the other part you just mentioned there, look what's happened with Brunson and Porzingis since they've left Dallas.
They've ascended. Yeah.
They're both all-stars.
Even Porzingis in Washington was better than he was in Dallas.
Right.
And I know it was a bad team, but he was better a player.
But you lost to Porzingis last year in the playoffs. In the NBA Finals, Porzingis shut you down in game one and set the tone for the whole series. Like, how embarrassing is that if you're Dallas? Because, and what's even more embarrassing, are people trying to go after Mark Cuban now, not realizing that Mark Cuban sold the team like a year ago?
I do wonder, though, if Mark Cuban's in charge, I don't think this move happens. I think he sticks with Luka. Because remember he said like he'd rather divorce his wife than have Luka leave?
Yeah,
like,
but when you have that amount of money, you can always find tax havens to not pay that ex-wife the money.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Like, I wonder, though, if Mark Cuban's there. I don't know if this – I don't think this happens, honestly, if Mark Cuban's there. And who knows? Maybe if Luka doesn't get hurt on Christmas Day and he's still playing right now, maybe it doesn't happen.
Yeah, but I think the Lakers are seeing themselves as who is the next – because here's something I think that goes on in conversation – in Lakerland that they would never say out loud, but it's an always reminder. It's the meme of 16 and 17, where one year you take Jaylen Brown gets taken before you, right after you, and then you had a chance to take Jason Tatum the next year, and instead you take Brandon Ingram and Lonzo Ball. And now you look at, you could be, the Lakers could have Tatum and Brown and not even sniff doing this deal right. Like, the Lakers could seriously be
that is
in the
annoying thing about the Lakers, though. Like, they screwed that up, and then they still got LeBron to go there. They still traded for AD. Now they get Luka. And you know that they're going to find a way. And I don't know who it's going to be. Maybe it'll be Zion Williamson. Maybe it'll be someone. They're going to find a way to get another star to show up there. Maybe it'll be Kevin Durant. I don't know. Like, you know it, and I know it. They are going to find some way for some star to just show up there in L.A. within the next 2 years.
Well, here's where the Luka deal is smart for L.A. You can have someone like Luka as the face of the Lakers, which would completely change the face history of the Lakers and be even more financially successful than you've been even during your LeBron years. just because there are so many people who will then follow the Lakers on top of the ones that already do, who have zero interest in the game of basketball, but are going to get behind Luka Doncic because the word is out that he's one of the best players in the world, and he plays for one of the most famous teams in the world. So, like, it, like they could go out there and run Dalton Connect, Austin Reeves, and Luka Doncic and wouldn't lose a single point rating in television. Will they be a good team? I don't even think that matters to Luka Doncic, because what you don't hear from him is frustrated with not winning. I think the frustration you hear from Luka is not being in charge of what they do. I've wondered how him and Kyrie, like, I'm really surprised. Like, if you told me when Kyrie Irving was acquired by Dallas,
I thought that was going to be a disaster. I was wrong. I mean, it worked. I thought it was going to be a disaster.
If you asked me, in 3 years, they're going to get rid of one of these two guys, who would it be? Everybody would have put their money on that Kyrie Irving would have been the one that's gone. And now they feel like Kyrie Irving is a very important piece of what they can do moving forward. Because again, like just about, I think when I was here last week, when I was doing NBA crypto, I was like, look, you know, with Luka gone, I don't know if this team could turn it around. But now if you say bring in Anthony Davis and now still have, and now create room to bring in another player, right? Because Anthony Davis is on an old max contract. Luka is on one of these advanced ones, right? So on these one of these advanced contracts where the money is probably the same, but Anthony Davis is vested more years, so you're not going to take as much of a hit, even if it's in terms of years. You now could make room to move a couple of players and some picks and go get another player. And I think it makes Dallas probably the most dangerous team in the West.
Dallas is interesting in that I still would not put them ahead of OKC, or probably not.
In the playoffs? In a playoff situation?
No, I wouldn't. But I do think it's funny because Luka is a better player than Anthony Davis. But I think the fit with Anthony Davis and Kyrie in the short term for the next 6 months or a year probably does make them a better team.
And
now, obviously health dependent, but I do wonder. I think the problem for Dallas is if they don't win a championship in the next 2 years, they're not going to win one with those two guys. So then it's like, well, what do you have to fall back on? And it's just one first round pick from the Lakers. And that's where the return is a problem.
Well, this is why they make that deal. You mentioned it. If it doesn't happen in the next couple of years, then they could come off of Davis's contract. They'll come off of Kyrie's contract. They'll have all this freedom. But if it was over the next couple of years and you're still trying to figure it out with Luka, then Luka's going to eat up so much of that money. And there's no way you can just move Luka in the middle of the night the way that you did now, 2 years from now, if he takes his Supermax deal. No one's, like, you would only be having conversations with, like, the Celtics. Who else would be top teams that have Supermax? Like, I don't even think SGA even has his Supermax yet.
I guess Golden State, you could have that because they have max guys.
And they probably wouldn't old do that, guys, because those are old max guys. You would say, okay, why would we give up a 27-year-old Luka for a near 40 Steph Curry? They're not going to do that deal. But I think this goes back to, like, how to tie this to the Celtics. Boy, have the Celtics gotten this thing right, because it's all homegrown. You know, you've got two superstars. You're the current NBA champions. These guys had plenty of playoff experience leading into this championship. They know what heartache looks like when they lost to Golden State, where you just felt like they got hit with the three-card Monty trick on the street corner. Like, okay, you got the better. You remember when we were talking about it at that time? I don't think you were here at the time. The Celtics clearly had the better athletes than Golden State, but Golden State had the trick bag. You know, they can.
Yeah, and I agree with you on that. Yeah.
And that's how they were able to win that.
They were 5 minutes away from going up 3-1 in that series. And then next thing you know, they lose in six.
Right. So when you have now the Celtics have to really just work on being that team that has that trick bag, but they're also considerably younger, right? Like Steph and Clay and these guys. When they're like, because they were having a second run, right? Like, remember, they kind of fell off of kind of the conversation of what was going on in the league. You know, that's when you have who stepped into the void. You have Phoenix in there.
And the Raptors won in 19. The Raptors, Bucks won. Yeah.
That's when
the Lakers won their one in the bubble.
The Lakers as well. So other teams were starting to put together at least something that would stop the Warriors from getting to that point. But with the Celtics, they seem to have always been in this conversation. Like, it's a gradual growth. The rest of the league, you would have to say, is this a move to grow the Lakers over the next 5 years? I would say no. This is really, I still believe that LeBron James could be, he might want out of Los Angeles, just because the guy who's represented by Rich Paul, just the same way that he is, they just traded him off.
Yeah, and this is where I think the problem for Dallas comes in. And that, like, I think in the next 6 months, the Mavs will be better with Anthony Davis and Kyrie paired together. But 3 years from now, and you have Luka on the Lakers, you know they're going to pair him with another star. What does Dallas have there? I mean, I like Derek Lively. He's a really good player. I don't think he's going to be an all-NBA guy. Maybe I'll be wrong. Like, I don't know what they have there to build on. And only getting the one first-round pick, I think, is a problem.
A really good team. Like, for example, if you look at someone like Minnesota, right? Nobody really jumps out at you at Minnesota. Yeah, they've had a down season this year. But you would say there are enough guys on that team that play their role, do their parts, that they can get themselves. Denver's the same way. Denver's really a two-man team. Like, name two other guys that play for the Nuggets, but the Nuggets are right there in the middle of things. Oklahoma City, these are built teams. The Lakers are still trying to do the superstar thing to put, because keep in mind, those high-priced seats, well, then again, I don't know what Hollywood looks like in 2 years with everything that's going on. But you get Luka Doncic, but if he doesn't put himself in better physical shape, you would ask, what superstar is going to go play with him, knowing that this is a guy that's already going to try and be a ball-dominant guy?
I think they'll still get people because it's the Lakers. Like, normally your argument would work for a lot of teams, but look at what the Lakers have done. They miss out on drafting Tatum and Brown. They still find a way to get LeBron and AD, right? And then they find a way to get Luka. They're going to get someone. They always do this. Like, they're going to find, like, Shaq leaves, and a year and a half later, they get Pau Gasol. Like, this is
to go play with Kobe in his prime.
This is just always happens. I mean, LeBron went there when they weren't good. He just wanted to go there. Like, so that's, it's going to, and I don't know who it's going to be. Could be Trae Young, could be Zion Williamson, could be someone I'm not even thinking of.
I think those guys are all going to say no with that ball-dominant hog that he is.
I don't think
they,
I think the Lakers, they're going to get.
They'll find somebody, but I don't think it'll be one of, like, Durant, I don't think is going to be that guy. Booker's not going to be that guy. Maybe Bradley Beal is someone they pair him with, but that's not going to be appealing for the Lakers. They need a 1-2 punch.
Like Anthony Edwards, I could see him being like, all right, I'll leave Minnesota and go to the Lakers.
I think he says no. I think he says, get me to the East before sending me to the Lakers. Like, trying to play with Luka, because again, Luka is 30 shots a game. 30 shots a game. What superstar? Like, if you're a superstar.
But also, like, in fairness, and I know we've kind of been down on Luka most of the show, and I do have questions about whether he's going to really be a winner. We are still talking about a top 10 player in the league. So, guys are going to want to go play with him.
Right. I think that's going to be the $64,000 question is, what does it look like in a year when the Lakers are potentially struck, or when other people are sick? Like, I think they try and make a move, say, for Giannis. Like they say, like,
yeah, that's another guy I didn't think.
Maybe that's somebody you can get to play. Two international players. They probably will try and figure out how to make it work. They don't get in each other's way so much, right? So that's the other thing. It's just like LeBron and Luka literally are twins. One is just a slower, bigger version of LeBron that can't do LeBron things. Like,
And you wonder when LeBron's going to retire, too. Like, this could be his last year. He could play one more year. He could play two. But I don't think he's going to play any more than two more years.
Or they get a haul for LeBron. Like, you know, like, they need to put pieces. Because I think what Luka ultimately will want is to be the star with role players. Like, the Lakers, I think that's what he's probably going to say. I want, get me role players and I'm the star. Because that was the problem in Dallas. They went and got him those things. And he didn't improve himself to be that star to be out there. Everybody was, look, again, like we said with Kyrie, I was just like, man, that's not going to work at all. Kyrie's been the one that's been actually the one that's worked out more in the last 2 years than Luka has. I know people are like, well, they got to the NBA Finals. Look, Minnesota was a team that overachieved and then lay down. You know, like, Minnesota played their NBA Finals when they beat Denver and just kind of fell asleep against Dallas. Like, they should have beaten Dallas.
And I also think, too, I know the Celtics are more talented than the Mavs in the finals, so they were overmatched. But Luka also, there was some stuff in that finals that was a bad look. Whether it was the bad defense, the bad three-point shooting because he looked tired at times. Like, that's the thing. Because when you look back to Tatum playing poorly in the 2022 finals or Brown playing poorly in the 23 Eastern Conference finals, it wasn't, hey, these dudes aren't in shape and they're not trying hard enough. It's just, hey, they're playing bad and they need to get better, right? Like, that's it. It's a different conversation. Same result, but it's a different conversation.
Yeah. 617-779-7937. That's also the text line. We'll get your calls and text next. Plus, a mystery feature coming here next on WEEI's KJ and Lyons. KJ and Lyons on your Sunday, the worst Sunday, well, the second worst Sunday in football fan history. It's just that I miss when they used to just go straight to the Super Bowl. Like, you won last week, you play the Super Bowl the next week. Then you would play the Pro Bowl the week after. Now they've got pretty much Chuck E. Cheese games going on down in Orlando trying to entertain us. John, it's really tough for the football fan today.
It is. I mean, it's the first weekend with no football since, what, like early August?
It's truly addiction.
Yeah.
But the good thing is, those of you who are missing KJ and Lyons, it's like, I've got my fill. It's almost kind of like, you know what? It's the saccharin when I can't have sugar.
Okay.
That's good, isn't it?
Right? Yeah, I'll give you that.
We're not artificial. It's very real. It's the brown sugar. Okay, maybe I'll stop. We'll get to your text messages here shortly. 617-779-7937. Sean and Easton, join us in the conversation. We've been talking about Luka and the trade and everything. Sean, your thoughts.
Yeah, guys, I'm in complete shock over this Luka trade. I couldn't believe it when I saw it on Twitter this morning. I felt like it had to be a joke, but then, you know, I read more and I'm like, gee, this can't be real. I had a friend text me, who's not an NBA guy, but he's a big NFL guy. And he's like, what is this in terms of an NFL trade? And I was like, this is like if Jamar Chase and Justin Jefferson were swapped in the middle of the season. Just unreal. And I can't help but feel like Kyrie's probably sitting there like, because according to the reports, he wanted to play with LeBron in Dallas. And he had reached out and said and wanted LeBron to come to Dallas. He's probably like, yeah, you guys made the Lakers trade, but you didn't get the right guy.
Yeah, Sean, thanks so much for the call. You know, John, there's nothing more that I hate than some Yahoo who just says, explain this to me in another sports term. Like, why don't you go look at this stuff? Like, what are we, one sport?
I would say it would be like if Joe Burrow was traded for Matt Stafford.
How about it was Luka Doncic for Anthony Davis?
Yeah. I'm just
how far off can you, like, we're not talking about, you know, moving pieces from the Orlando Magic and some, you know, Paolo Banchero. Yeah, okay. What does that mean? What is that in relationship to? But when you're talking about five-time, multiple-time All-NBA team guys and all-star guys, you're trying to figure out, like, explain this to me in baseball terms. Like, shut the hell up. Why don't you just go find out who Luka is? I mean, for God's sake, it's a guy would want these. They have nicknames. That's like, explain this to me. Like, it's like trading Madonna for Prince. Like, you're literally talking about two guys who don't get normally called by their full names, AD and Luka, right? Like, that's the trade. I don't need to tell you what other sport that happens in. Damn it, either have an idea about what a sport is or shut the damn hell up. I'm sorry. Like, if this is track and field, yes. Hey, hockey, I could understand it a little bit for somebody. Basketball, the second biggest sport in America, and you're like, explain this to me in football terms?
It is kind of amazing that this is one thing that was almost universally not believed.
Right.
Remember, Shams had to put out the second tweet, like, yeah, this is real. Like, it was universally not believed by ever. Like, I saw it on TV. I didn't believe it. I thought it was one of those hypothetical GM segments that SportsCenter does.
But what did you just say?
Whoa.
On TV, you said, okay, this had to be something to it because you don't go on TV with it. But everybody who lives in the social media bubble thinks it's all a joke. I'm thinking, like, man, I need to find something. Maybe I come up with like a meme coin and just kind of get everybody to believe that it
gets
rich
off. Trouble.
Right? Who's gotten into trouble recently?
Hasn't that been a problem?
With the Walking Bets girl is still Well, I think she's doing like OnlyFans mini.
Yeah,
like
Hawk
a mini
Tula girl. Like she kind of disappeared.
But
so.
Still, you know what?
Yeah.
Turn around, do a KJ and Lyons meme coin, pull the rug. KJ's the one that ends up in jail with Brankman Fried.
You could get along with him.
Well, you know he's in the same puff.
You
he's
guys could
same...
do like a financial talk show together.
Well, you know he's in him and Diddy are sharing a cell right now. Like
are
that
they...
is no lie. Yes. For protective reasons, I don't know what the protection would be. Oh no, they spent $50 million to send that over to some country in Africa that they didn't. I'm sorry. 617-779-7937. We're minutes away from a surprise segment here today. What do you have on the text line, Thomas? First one.
So the most recent one is, you guys are the first people I've heard say the Mavs won the Luka AD deal.
Yeah, I'm not really saying. I'm saying in the short term, the next few months, I like Dallas better. But yeah, in the long term, I don't like the. I just don't think they got enough for Luka.
Yeah,
even my criticisms of Luka notwithstanding.
Right. Well, we're the first ones to say it because we're not BSing you, but because we're KJ and Lyons and we look at these
things. Can I give you a little Castellanos moment?
Okay.
Cavaliers Mavericks. You want to guess what the halftime score is?
Mavs are getting blown out.
Cavs are up 91-46 at halftime.
Aren't they having a? Aren't people like protesting outside of the? Dallas Arena.
Oh, 91-46. Oof.
Did I see a casket out
yep.
there?
Rest in peace to the Mavs, those guys brought
it. Big-ass Luka was in it. You'd be carried by 18. Who's in this damn thing?
Look, it's only the seventh time in NBA history a team allowed 90 points and a half.
Well, I think it's one of the few times, well, in terms
of
the trade.
Justin Turpin for that stat.
Well, one of the portions of the trade is like Anthony Davis was the leading scorer, rebounder, and blocks for the Lakers. He's their leading scorer. They traded their leading scorer for Luka, who hasn't played enough games, I think, to be their leading scorer. I don't know. And that's the thing, Luka, it's not like, hey, we'll see Luka Tuesday night in a Lakers uniform. We'll just see him Tuesday night in sneakers. You think he's tried In-N-Out Burger yet? I haven't been to Los Angeles, but I hear In-N-Out Burger.
I went to it once.
Diet.
It was pretty good. I don't think it was the best thing ever, it was pretty good.
Maybe I do a Luka parody of now the new snacks that he will find in L.A.
You know what happened to me
Roscoe's.
A few weeks ago? Went to Five Guys for like the first time in a while.
Okay.
Two burgers, one order of fries,
well, how big
two
was
drinks,
the burger?
And it was like $40. I was like, this is crazy.
But here's the thing. You get the kid-sized burger to get a regular-sized burger.
So one of them was like a single burger. The other was the double cheeseburger. One order of fries and like two waters. And it was like $40.
But what else did you put? Did you add stuff to the burger?
No. Nothing.
You didn't?
I was shocked. I knew they were expensive, but I was like, damn.
Well, you know what? Then maybe we don't go. If you can't afford the check, maybe you eat more of the peanuts. Order less.
Yeah,
you know
I mean? Guess so.
Peanuts are still free, right?
I hope so.
Nobody's falling. Nobody's crying Argentina for you, but bitching over the price of you going to Five Guys. They think you're rich already because you work 4 hours a day when you're here. Like that doesn't hit the working man's pocket. They're like,
and it was a good burger. I like Five, but I was like, wow, $40 for two burgers and one order of fries, two drinks.
Oof. Bro, did you sit brutal. Down? Did you sit down in the restaurant at least, or did you walk out?
Yeah, no, I sat down at 8.
There you go. Yeah. Well, at least you enjoy the ambiance and you got
yes,
the free
the ambiance.
You got,
yeah,
you didn't pay for a freestyle drink. You just got a water.
Just got a water. That's all I wanted,
bro. Don't go up in there, man. $40. I'm gonna go. I'm balling. I'm flipping stuff out. I'd be like, you got change for a 50?
Well, you wouldn't need the whole 50.
There you go. It'd be like, yeah, here's five burgers. And five Jeez. Makes 10. Another text, 617-779-7937. What you got, Thomas?
Yeah, a big fat guy, according to YouTube, won the scoring title, almost averaging a triple-double, carried a team to the finals, but yeah, Rip Tatum is doing it.
Yeah, but this guy
I would take Tatum over Luka. I said that 3 years ago.
Yeah.
And people said I was an idiot. I'm going to say it again. And Tatum, that's not even to...
Tatum 6'8", 210. Doncic 6'6", potentially right now 270.
Tatum's career defensive rating is 6 full points better than Luka too.
Luka may have lost $175 million, somewhere around there, in his next deal because his employer said, we don't think the guy's committed to getting into shape.
You think there's something else there besides the getting into shape for them to dump him this quickly?
that's the straw that broke the camel's.
I'm not trying to like be a conspiracy theorist, but it's just for them to dump him this quickly. I wonder, is there something that like was he not getting along with guys on the team? Was there some issue with ownership? Like again, this is a guy who's a top 10 player in the NBA. They only called one team, right? They didn't even call the Bucks and say, hey, you want to offer us Giannis, right? They didn't even bother making any other phone calls. They just moved on this quickly. I kind of wonder.
Maybe he was dating Nia Long. Who knows?
Ime would beat him up. But
hey, I didn't say his name. You got to be clever with these things.
I wonder, is there something else there?
An extra large fry and a shake.
Maybe.
You know, it's fat bastard from, what is it, the Austin Powers?
Austin Powers 2.
I
never watched those movies.
You've never watched Austin
I know what
Powers?
They are. I've watched like 10 minutes of them.
Oh, I was great. My wife hates them. But my goodness, the inner Canadian in me loves, I can watch Austin Power reruns. Even Goldmember I found funny as the years went on.
Yeah, the K in KJ stands for Canadian.
Canadian starts with this.
Yeah, I know.
But we're not going to go there. But we are going to go here. Hit it, Thomas.
I'm sorry that I said you were a Jag. Just a guy.
Oh, he's just a Jag.
Surprise.
Not bad. Doesn't stand out on the field.
They're in the Super Bowl, but they suck.
He's just a Jag. Not great, not bad. Just a guy out on the field.
Yes, John, a shocker. We brought Just the Jag back for the last game of the season, and you're going to make predictions Will they be the star that they've gotten to be to get them to the Super Bowl, or will they be a Super Bowl Jag? So let's start with Andy Reid, head coach of the Chiefs. Great man or Super Bowl Jag?
I think he will do a great job.
All right. Well, no, actually, so Thomas, how it works when he's not really doing well, you hit Jag. All right, Nick Sirianni, Eagles head coach.
I think he's going to do. I think this is going to be a well-coached game. I think him and Reed are both going to do a good job. I'm going to put him above a Jag for this game.
I'm going to put Sirianni as a Jag here because I think the things that mistakes that Sirianni has made during the season, I think Andy Reid is the one that may be able to pull them out of them, especially because who did he lose to in the last Super Bowl? Andy Reid. So I think Sirianni might get himself caught up in the emotions of like, I can't go back to Philadelphia and lose two Super Bowls to the guy who couldn't get a Super Bowl to Philadelphia. I think Sirianni ends up looking like a Jag. Jalen Hurts.
I think he's a Jag in this game.
That was
a tough one.
I think so, too, because I think the Chiefs are going to get it to force him to throw the ball because I don't think he'll be too successful running the ball. And when Jalen Hurts starts trying to make too many complex decisions throwing the ball, it's where it looks bad. I think Jalen Hurts, I hate to say it, but I think he ends up being a Jag in the game. Saquon Barkley, Jag or outstanding performance?
Way outstanding. He's going to be really good in this game.
I'm going to say that Chiefs defense may lock Saquon down. Like you might see Saquon receiving more, but the rushing yards... Oh, but even a bad game from Saquon would be better than most. So I can't say Jag, but I don't think he gets over 85 total yards. I think it'd be one of those games. All right, A.J. Brown, Jag or not a Jag in this game?
Oh, above a Jag. It's funny because I don't think Hurts is going to have an amazing game, but I think Brown is going to get most of their yards. Like, I think he's going to have a great game.
I'm going to go with Jag in this game. I think that frustration of where he wasn't getting the ball and there was a little bit of kind of like what the angst that was going on, it may show up again because if I'm saying that Jalen Hurts may get frustrated throwing the ball, it could be forcing things to A.J. Brown. So I think A.J. Brown is one of those guys that may be missing. And look, a couple of early on, maybe a couple of passes, but nothing big that's going to break open a game. I think A.J. Brown might be in Jag status for this game. Devonta Smith.
So you know what? I think he's going to be a Jag in this game. I think the Chiefs are going to take him away. I think it's going to be more about A.J. Brown and Saquon Barkley. Though I could see him having like one big catch, but not having like a huge game.
So I would go the antithesis. I think Devonta Smith may be the guy who actually does okay because of all the attention to A.J. Brown. So I think Devonta Smith will have a great game. I think he'll have a good game. But better, I think it'll be better than A.J. Brown's. All right, Patrick Mahomes, Chiefs.
Above a Jag, but only a little bit. I don't think he's going to be dominant in this game.
Yeah, I don't think he necessarily has to be. So, like, he doesn't... I think just him performing basic stuff will be enough for the team. He doesn't have to be a superstar, I think, to win the game. So, yeah, there's no Jag in conversation. What about Kareem Hunt, the running back?
Jag, I think, in this game.
Really?
Yeah, that Eagles defensive line, man. Chiefs have not faced anything like that this year.
I'm going to go above a Jag for Kareem Hunt because I think he's not going to be the guy that's going to burst for a bunch of yards, but he will be that short line, goal line guy. So you may be looking at a Kareem Hunt with two touchdowns, but maybe only 30 yards rushing total. So I put him above a Jag because of the touchdowns, not because of the yards.
Yeah, I could see that.
So what about Isaiah Pacheco?
I think he'll be above a Jag. I think in the last Super Bowl they played against the Eagles, he had a good game, if I remember correctly. I might be off on that.
I'm totally with you there because I think even though he's coming back from the injury, I think that brought him back around week 11, I think this is where he's able to break out across the field in between the 20s and really be able to do some damage because they've got that 1-2 punch with Kareem Hunt. Travis Kelce, I mean, look, he's been missing in action in some of the earlier playoff games. A Jag on the national stage?
No, I think what's going to happen with him, and we saw it a little bit in the game against Houston in the divisional round, they've been saving him all year, resting him all year. He's going to have like two or three big third down catches that have a big impact on the game.
All right, and the Chiefs wide receiver core?
Jags.
Jags?
Yeah, I think that Eagles defense again, the Chiefs have not faced something like with that great defensive line and a pretty good secondary on top of it. I think it's going to be like Travis Kelce's going to have a couple big catches, but beyond that, I think it's going to be tough for them to throw the ball.
If Kendrick Lamar does not perform "They Not Like Us" and says all the lyrics that everybody's wondering, would it be a Jag performance?
Yeah, I think I want him to perform all those songs. You know, Meet the Grams, everything, you know.
Do the whole suite of those songs.
And just put the parental advisory sticker on the TV.
move it over to Netflix so that way you get the curses out like you're doing on WWE Raw. And that is Just the Jag, a special Super Bowl edition here on KJ and Lyons, continuing next with Red Sox doing nothing for a while. What is up here on WEEI?
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for their members. This week, it's all about buy five and get five free when you buy 10 mix and match participating items. Here are just a few. Coca-Cola, 7-Up, Pepsi, or Smartwater beverages of various sizes. 16-count fresh baked cookies and pint-sized Ben & Jerry's ice cream, as well as 6 mega or 12 double rolls of Signature Select soft and strong bath tissue and 6 rolls of Brightly paper towels selected varieties. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.